to a new episode of The Brand Called You. I am Arani and I'm with Ashutosh Garg talking about retirement and what should you do next after you have retired. Most people put off the discussion of what to do next post-retirement, and that results in unplanned consequences. My first question to you is, what must one do to keep their mind and body healthy after they retire?
Good question, Arani. You know, there are people who plan retirement and there are people who don't plan retirement.
Right.
People who plan retirement know that they've got 35, 40 years of life post 60. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they have a very fulfilling life. There are people who don't plan retirement and they're miserable from the morning they wake up after retirement.
Right.
So it is absolutely critical to have a bucket list, if I can use that term, or work on a series of things that you have interests in, or continue to do some kind of work that is related to what you're doing, but you need to plan.
Right.
And we can go through several options that we can look at.
Right. So in your writings, you have mentioned a lot of things that people can do. And I have made a list of it, and I'm going to go through one by one in the interest of our viewers. Yeah. Please bear with us. And most of these topics are really interesting. And if you are willing to pick one of them up, please feel free. So the first one you talk about is book. You have authored 5 books now. So how must one go about writing a book?
So, you know, a book is something which is able to... you know, as an author, you have the ability to share whatever your thoughts are on whatever subject. And it is often said that everyone has at least one book inside them. So, you know, you could just sit and write your life's journey, like an autobiography. You could pick up a subject that you are interested. So if you're the world's greatest logistics manager, write a book on logistics. I'm just taking an example. The mistake that a lot of people do when they say they want to write is either they say, I don't know how to write, which is not correct. You know, now there are enough, you know, voice to text models available. You can sit and dictate your whatever your thoughts are to your phone. Or they say that, you know, nobody is going to print my book. There are plenty of options to publish your book. Or they say, how much money will I make from the book? And that's where I always step in and tell people, you're not writing your book to earn money, you're writing it to leave a legacy.
Right.
And I tell everybody, write it down, because once you're gone, your family would want to know who you were and what you were all about. And when I say family, what I mean is not your children who know what it is all about, or what you're all about, but your grandchildren and generations after that.
Right. So that's one way of using your time.
Yeah.
The next is learning a language, and you speak about a very interesting story about language.
Yeah. So, you know, my mother's younger brother, who retired as a brigadier in the army, he was always very good with language. And after he retired, he decided to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's very good with languages, but obviously he was so proficient that he was teaching Spanish to senior people. He became a translator for the government. Wow. And not only that, but he started accompanying several senior leaders from India to Spain as a translator.
Wow.
So now here is an individual who retired at 60, and he just decided that I'm going to have the passion to learn a language.
Wow.
And he was conversing with people. He made a whole bunch of new Spanish speaking friends. He developed new friendships all over Spain because people started respecting this, you know, one star general from the Indian army.
Wow.
And he was having great fun, plus making a lot of money.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So the next one is my favorite. This is what I feel I would do when I retire, which is travel like a local.
Correct.
So I think that's very interesting.
I agree. So, you know, again, a lot of people want to travel.
Right.
A lot of people say, I want to travel. very few people make that effort to travel. So I'll give you my own story. My wife is a well acknowledged historian, and I believe I've seen most of the world because of her. 10-12 years ago, we took a decision that every year we would visit two new countries and visit two new places in India.
Right.
And we have been doing that religiously. Every year we go. In fact, 2019, we have visited five new countries. And so much so that, you know, we are now beginning to appreciate cultures of different places, foods of different places, history of different places, what the locals, you know, talk about. So, you know, we were in Armenia, and I knew that there was a problem, but I didn't know that there was a genocide there, and which had just been recognized. So, you know, the more one travels, the more one's minds open up, the more you will get to learn about the world. Because at the end of the day, Arani, we only have one life.
Right.
And we only have one world. And we only have one opportunity to see as much of this world as we can.
Right.
So if once you have retired, hopefully you have money. Yeah. And you certainly should have enough time.
Right.
And most importantly, have the inclination to go and travel and see the world.
And I have met a lot of the older people, people 65 plus, 75 plus as well. And they come and stay in hostels because they want to really spend time with young people. So that's why they go stay in hostels. So and hostels are so cheap. You really don't need money to travel at all. So I think that's one of my favorites.
There's also another very interesting category of people emerging from the US.
Yes.
Why I'm giving the US example is because with a US passport, they're able to travel much easier than we would from India.
Right.
But there are many countries we can also visit.
Right.
These people have sold their assets, put their money into some investment, and told their lawyer that, you know, just do anything you want. Give us $5,000 or $7,000 every month. They get onto a cruise liner and just go from country to country to country.
Right.
Whichever country they like, they get off, stay for 1 month, and then get back again on a ship.
Wow. So I'm going to quickly go over to the next one. One of my favorite ones, and since you are an executive coach too, you mentioned about coaching. So can you please help us understand how to
do that? So, you know, coaching is something which is now becoming very, very relevant all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
In India, it is getting accepted now.
Right.
And what a person who has retired can do very easily with a little bit of training, obviously, as to how he or she can help people who are younger. And again, what is necessary as a coach is to provide this help in a manner that is not seen as intrusive.
Correct.
So if, you know, you're much younger than me and you're the co-founder of the brand called you with me, if I come and tell you, you know, I'm 30 years older than you, Arani, and you have to do it like this, you know, you'll not accept it.
Yeah.
So the moment we start to acknowledge that I have the ability to give you some of my knowledge, some of my learnings, and then leave it to you to take that, that is where the coaching starts to become more effective.
Right.
There are many, many, many people available who would be more than happy to take inputs from someone who's got experience.
Right.
And if you have a little extra money, they would also love to get the investment from you.
Right.
So become a coach, talk about your experiences, and do it in a manner where your knowledge is passed on to someone who needs it.
That's a great advice. And also I feel that young people have a lot to learn from people with 40 years of working experience, and where we lack, we can now augment our lack of experience with yours.
Correct.
So that's one. And then another one is cooking.
Hmm?
I mean, a lot of people take on cooking.
Correct.
And I think that's a great stress buster as well.
Yeah.
So let's talk about another very important ones that a lot of people really, really talk about that I'm going to do this, that's spending time with family and grandchildren.
Mm.
So is that a great way to
stress pass? You know, if you are fortunate enough to have your children and grandchildren in the city that you live in,
right?
And I must emphasize something that I have said repeatedly to many people. that if you are not in the same city as your children, do not make an effort to relocate and go and live in the same city as your children, because that is going to create a huge amount of disappointment in you.
Right.
They are very busy.
Right.
But if you happen to be in the same city, nothing more interesting than to be able to spend time with your grandchildren.
Right.
Because the relationship an individual has with his or her grandchild is completely different from the relationship they would have with their own children.
Correct.
Right? In the old Hindu text, it used to be often said that, you know, your child is your principal and the grandchild is the interest. And interest is always sweeter than the principal. So therefore, if you have the ability, spend as much time as you can, because there will be a lot of mutuality between the relationship between you and your grandchild.
Right.
Your grandchild will absolutely, you know, adore you for all everything that you can do to spoil that that child. And you will suddenly rediscover what it is to be young again with a child.
Right. So another thing that you have picked up, I know, is playing the flute. So learning music, it could be anything, and now you have started your classes too.
Yeah.
So how is that going?
So, you know, I used to play the flute when I was 25, 26, 27, when we used to live in Calcutta. And then I gave it up. I always had this desire because I learned it for 3 years. I picked it up again. It's taking me a little while to get used to it, but 2 or 3 days, the notes are coming back.
Wow.
But what is absolutely exciting is that I have developed something which I had not done for 35 years. Right. And it's coming back to me. And not only this, but I'm also beginning to rediscover my old stamp albums. People of my vintage had huge collections of stamps. We have coin collections. You know, so there's so many things to do. In spite of everything else that I do, I make sure I'm able to find the time to keep pursuing all the other activities as well.
So picking up your old hobbies is something that one can do.
Yes.
A lot of people also pick up a newfound love for pets.
Yeah.
So is that something that you recommend, or is it too much of a hassle to get a pet if you are not used to one?
So there are differing views. My wife and I do believe that we love pets. Our children have, you know, pets. But given our love for travel and the fact that we want to be able to travel wherever we want, we think that we would be unfair to the pet if every 2 or 3 months we go away for 10 days to some place and leave the pet either to help or in a kennel.
Right.
So therefore, I think pets are great stress busters. They're great companions.
Right.
And if you unfortunately are not well, then pets are available to be able to help you out on that as well.
Right.
So hopefully later on in life, we may have a pet. At this point of time, we don't have one.
Okay, great. And you also mentioned in one of your writings, watching TV can also be something that you can do.
Correct. Watching TV can be very therapeutic. I know my mother used to, I know a lot of other you know, women and men, for them the television is like an like a member of your family.
Right.
You know what serial is going to come next, which reality show is going to come next. My mother used to follow every single cricket match. My grandmother, who today would have been a little over 100, I don't think she ever missed a single Indian cricket match. So television is a huge companion, a big companion for anyone who's now retired.
Yes, my dadi sometimes watches these serials, and sometimes she passes comments like, she is so bad, she should be thrown out of this family. So they feel that connection.
They're able to identify. Yeah.
And the last thing that that you have mentioned in our chats as well, and you mentioned in your writing as well, which is doing nothing. And you have also said that don't feel bad that you're not doing anything. So what about that?
So, you know, we are human beings.
Right.
We have been wired to keep on saying, I am busy. I'm going to do something.
Right.
if at the end of the day, after you worked 35, 40 years, you have taken a decision consciously, not by default, but by design, that I choose to do nothing, which means I will watch television, I will just go for my walks, I will not do anything that is, I've got enough, I'm happy with myself, I'm content. Nice. My only response to all of them is, do nothing, don't feel guilty, and live well.
All right, thank you so much. That's a great piece of advice. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.